Good morning, everybody, and a really warm welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church this morning for our Sunday worship together. My name's Sian. I am one of the leaders at Connect at Copper Beach, which is one of our gatherings across the city. And I just want to give you a huge welcome as we gather together from all different parts of Leeds to worship God. Thank you so much to Hannah and Gid this morning for your Zoom into church for the kids. That was fantastic. Our kids across the churches are loving seeing your amazing smiley faces every week, encouraging them in their walk with God. So thank you for all you're doing, guys. We are going to start our worship this morning as we praise our amazing God. Our theme this morning is a life of grace, and we're going to be focusing on Psalm 103. And as we spend some time singing together in our homes all across the city, I want to just read to you a few lines from Psalm 103 that we'll be looking at in more detail later on. And it's an amazing psalm. It reminds us of how God is so good to us. Here we go. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me. He forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." Let's stand in our homes. Let's sing at the top of our voices, because however we are, whatever we're going through, whatever kind of week we've had, he is so worthy of our praise this morning. Let's praise God.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty? So much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, so worthy is the King.
So much, Paul and team from Crag, for that worship this morning. We really appreciate that. Thank you. So I don't know about you guys and what is going on with you at the moment. We are in week of lockdown. We've had 100 days already, and I'm sure, like me, that there are lots of things that you're probably missing. Do you know, this week we would have been celebrating 10 years of Connect since we launched our Connect gathering, and we always have a celebration every year. And so I don't know what you're missing this week, but the things I'm really appreciating over lockdown, one of the things I've appreciated so much, is being able to spend time with so many of you guys on a Sunday morning from right across Cornerstone. And I think lots of us have been enjoying the live feed. So let's keep enjoying that this morning as we touch base with one another and worship together. Keep the comments coming and the banter too. It's great. But whatever is going on for you this week, my prayer is today that you can stop, that you can breathe, that you can remember that God is good. You can remember that God is faithful, that Jesus is Lord in these times. And so, kids, I want you to listen up now, because we're going to go into our kids talk. This next section, we're going to hear from our pastor, Peter. There may not be juggling this week, but I'm sure he's got something great to share with us. So if you're sitting comfortably, let's find out what he's got in store. Over to you, Peter.
Hello, This morning we are talking about one of the greatest words that we have, and it's the word grace. And it simply means God's amazing love for us, love that we don't deserve. And God loves us through his Son, Jesus Christ, so much. We ask him how much he loves us, and he says this much as he spreads his arms wide on the cross to die for us. And God's wonderful grace, his wonderful love, it's there for us at the beginning of our Christian lives. It's there for us as we grow as a Christian. It's there for us every day. So when we begin as a Christian, when we trust in Jesus, we recognize that our lives, well, they're a bit of a mess. So we can be going along and then something goes wrong and, you know, what a mess, we've messed up. But God comes in his grace and he loves us in Jesus. He forgives us. He makes us clean. All the wrong things that we've done, he forgives us. And then he helps us to live differently. So as we begin living as Christians, as we begin as disciples of Jesus, then we realize that we've got the power to do things differently and things get better. And that's his grace as well. He gives us his Holy Spirit and he strengthens us so that we can follow Jesus, so that we can begin to change. God forgives us and he helps us to live differently. But day by day, we still get things wrong. God is changing us. God is helping us through the highs and through the lows. We do all right, and then something goes wrong. We stop, we get stuck, or something falls to the ground, and we realize that we've messed up. Maybe that there's something that God gave us to do that we just haven't done. Or it may be that we've done something that is wrong. We might have said a wrong word. We might have hurt someone. We might have just done something that is wrong. And we know it's wrong. And we think, well, God, does he still love me? But the amazing thing about God's grace is that he loves us very much, and he picks us up and he helps us to start again. That's his amazing love. Jesus is speaking with his disciples and he's talking with them about forgiveness. And one of the disciples asks, how often should I forgive someone when they sin against me? Is it seven times? And that seems like an awful lot. That's real forgiveness. But Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And Jesus isn't expecting the disciples to get their calculators out and start counting. And he doesn't want them to say, well, that's 25 times I've forgiven, that's 60 times that I've forgiven, that's 80, there's only a few more to go. No, he's saying, don't count the times that you forgive, keep forgiving. That's a wonderful challenge for us. But what I want us to remember especially is that Jesus says that because it reflects something really deep in the heart of God, his amazing love for us. Jesus asks us to forgive 70 times 7, because that's how God is with us. Day after day, moment after moment, he gives us grace to change, but he also keeps on forgiving us when we mess up. So going on through life, God is changing us. God is helping us day by day and moment by moment, and we begin to get better, and we thank God that he's changing us, his amazing love, but then we sort of come to a stop, or worse still, something badly goes wrong, we mess up. God's amazing love for you and for me in Jesus is always there. He strengthens us to do better. He makes us clean. He gives us a fresh start. Let's receive God's amazing grace to us today.
Got such a lot when you've got not a lot. What? Be happy. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I will run this race and I will never stop. I'll follow Jesus till the day I drop. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, what? Be happy. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven.
Guys, we're just going to start by, I'm going to say let's pray, and we're just going to then have 20 seconds where we can just listen to God and hopefully hear and discern things that he's trying to tell us. So let's bow our heads and let's pray now. Dear Father, we are so grateful. We listen to you and we are so grateful for everything you are doing in this world. We know it may not seem so normal at the moment, and things that you do often go unseen, but we are so grateful for everything you are doing into people's lives, turning more people towards you, bringing more people to hear your word. We just praise you for all of this, and we rejoice knowing that you are Almighty God, you are our Father, you are heaven on earth. We just ask that you'll help us as a church to keep spreading your word, to keep being missional, finding ways, finding new and creative ways. We just pray that you'll speak into people's lives and let them know your love and help us to bring them closer to you. We know that that is an interesting one in this situation, but we just pray that you'll help us to see ways to be missional, ways to get out into the communities that we serve, and ways in which we can improve people's lives by them knowing you more. We are so grateful for that, and we just ask that you'll help. Father, we know that we often miss these opportunities. We often don't do what you know is best for our lives. We just ask forgiveness for that. We ask forgiveness for you, from you, that we can be better. We know we can be better. We just pray that you'll watch over us and you'll keep giving us opportunities. You'll keep finding people that we can speak into their lives. We just pray that we know that we mess up on a daily basis, maybe more, maybe less, but we pray that you'll keep speaking to us, you'll keep watching over us and giving us opportunities to spread your word, as we know spreading your kingdom so far is important. We want the whole world to know and love you, and we are so grateful that we have a position in which we can do more. In Jesus' name, amen.
My name is Amatus. Today's reading is from Psalm 103. Of David, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
This week, we are continuing our series on a psalm in a key of life. And I have been given the privilege of speaking to you this morning on Psalm 103 and given the title, A Life of Grace. Last week, Peter spoke to us in Psalm 99, looking at the theme of holiness, what it means to be people who are set apart, who strive to live holy lives, lives pleasing to God. As Christians, we are called to live like Christ and to be Christ-like. Alan Hirsch, in his book ReJesus, calls us to live missional lives, lives in which we are to be little Jesuses, as he coins it. We are to be Christ in our actions and interactions with others. And through being little Jesuses, people see something of Jesus in our lives, see something of his attraction, and are therefore drawn to him. Now, there's part of me that really likes that analogy. I like the idea of being a little Jesus, called to be a little Jesus to help others in their understanding of him. And to illustrate his point in his book, Alan Hirsch shows the lives of several people who have been little Jesuses, people like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and a few others I can't remember. However, when I read about these people, when I think about my own life, I realise that actually I can't be like Jesus. Not really. Jesus was without sin. He was all loving and compassionate. And well, in my humanity, I miss the mark. I don't live a life that's full of holiness, despite my best efforts. I don't make the grade. Now, I could just walk away and say, you know what, this is too hard. These are unrealistic expectations. But what is beautiful about God is because he created us in our humanity, because he formed us, he knows that we're going to miss the mark. And yet, the psalm tells us that he crowns us with love and compassion. He is gracious to us, giving us the gift of grace, something utterly undeserved and yet freely given. We don't know the circumstances surrounding the writing of Psalm 103, but we do know it was written by David, Israel's greatest king, a man who knew God intimately, and this is reflected in the words of this psalm. David grew up in a time when the eldest son of the family received his father's blessing and therefore his wealth and status. David was the youngest son, so he wasn't born with that birthright of inheritance. David would have been left with very little when his father passed away, and his future was not going to be a great one. And yet, God had a different plan for David. We first meet David in the Bible as a boy in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We learn that he was a shepherd, the youngest son of Jesse. God sent the priest Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel, and God guides Samuel to this young shepherd boy. Not the natural fit for the next king, but this was not going to be a king because of a birthright, but because he was anointed by God and the Bible tells us was filled with the Spirit. David, despite being God's chosen and anointed king, a man filled with the Spirit, was still human. He, like us, missed the mark. And if we're honest, he didn't fully live a life of holiness. David did some very silly things. And I mean, he messed up big time. We read in 2 Samuel 11 that David falls in love with and has an affair with Bathsheba, the wife of someone else. When Bathsheba tells David she's pregnant, David uses his power as king to have Uriah, her husband, brought back from battle to be with his wife. However, David's plan doesn't quite go as he intends, because Uriah, out of his sense of loyalty to his soldiers on the battlefield, did not return home but camped outside. David realised that what he had done may be discovered, and so to hide his tracks, he sends Uriah back out to fight, placing him directly on the front line, knowing he would not survive the battle. Uriah was killed in battle, and that meant that freed David up to marry Bathsheba himself. Now, these don't seem to be the actions of a man who is filled with the Spirit. Fortunately, David had a good friend called Nathan. And it's Nathan that calls David to account for his actions and tells him he needs to repent to God for what he has done. And eventually David does do that. David, more than anyone, knew something of God's forgiveness and grace. David really was no longer worthy to be called the king. And yet that was what God had anointed him to do. God forgave David. And David went on to become the greatest king Israel ever had. He became the father of Solomon, who is credited to be the wisest king of Israel, and the king who oversaw the building of the temple. And we read in Matthew that it's from David's line that the king, the Messiah, Jesus, is born, and he's born in David's town, Bethlehem. We don't know if David penned these words of Psalm 103 before or after the death of Uriah, but he is able to grasp something of the vastness of the forgiveness and grace he receives from God when he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." David missed the mark. We miss the mark, and yet God shows his righteousness to his children. Psalm 103 in verse 17 tells us. And in verse 8 it tells us, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." Now, one of the best illustrations I have ever seen on grace was done by my friend Pete. I don't know how many sermons you have listened to in your lifetime. Perhaps you have a wonderful memory and you can recall and retain all sorts of information. Unfortunately, I'm not like that, but a good illustration I do remember. And this illustration is so good, it's worth repeating. It's a shame I can't tell you in person because, be assured, it would have a greater impact. But I'm going to try and do that over this screen now. While I was at Bible college, I had prayers every Tuesday morning. A whole college used to meet for prayers. And one Tuesday morning, we met for prayers in August at the college. And because quite a lot of people were away, with it being August, there was only a small handful. My friend Pete, who was in the same year as me, had been asked to leave the prayer service that morning and was asked to speak on grace. The prayers were held in the college canteen, and as I arrived for prayers, I grabbed a coffee from the machine. Nice. And as I went to my seat, I noticed that a piece of chocolate had been left. Pete spoke to us about grace. It's like a gift from God, something totally undeserved and yet freely given to us. He explained that grace was like the chocolate he had given to us. I liked this illustration, and as I enjoyed the taste of the chocolate going down very well with my coffee, I thank God for his gift of grace in my life. As the prayers came to an end, Pete went on to explain that God's grace was much bigger than we realise. His gift of grace is totally undeserved and bigger than we can imagine. He explained that grace is, yes, it's like the gift of the little bar of chocolate that he had given us, but it's more like this. And as he said that, he pulled out a full bear bar of dairy milk, and then another, and then another, and another bar of dairy milk. He had enough full bars of chocolate for each one of us in the prayers that morning. I was thrilled. I love the illustration. And I thought to myself I would keep my bar of chocolate for later in the day, perhaps to enjoy in the evening after I'd had a little run around Ruskin Park. Pete closed the prayers and I put my chocolate in my handbag and started to think about heading off, as I needed to be at my church placement in Camberwell later that morning. As people started to get up and leave, Pete stopped us and he said that perhaps God's grace is even bigger than he had suggested. We as humans are far from perfect. We mess up all the time. We say silly things, we do silly things, and we think terrible things. We miss the mark. We fall from grace. And so God's grace needs to be even bigger than our failings. There is nothing we can do to put right the wrongs we create. So God's grace needs to be huge. We cannot earn it. And with that, Pete pulled out this. I noticed that Pete had a much bigger bag tucked behind his chair, and from that he pulled out enough bars of this giant size of chocolate for all of us. I held this chocolate in my hand. I was over the moon. Now, I love dairy milk, but you know what? I didn't deserve this chocolate. See, that middle size bar, I probably would have run those calories off in about a 30-minute run around the park. But if I was to eat this entire bar of dairy milk, which I wouldn't recommend doing in one setting, unless Hannah, Gideon, you fancy doing this for next week's challenge? But no amount of running would burn off the calories in this bar. I simply did not deserve this bar of chocolate. I had not worked for it. I had not paid for it. I had not been anywhere near enough to Pete to warrant him just giving it to me. He just had, and he didn't expect anything back. And it was more than I could have imagined. And that is grace, he told us. That is the size and the scale of grace that God gives to us. See, we live in a world of transactions. You do a day's work for someone and they'll pay you. You buy a gift for someone's birthday and often they will return the act when it's your birthday. You help someone out, they help you out. And here's one for the children. You swap a legendary pet on Bloxburg and someone trades you with another legendary pet. This transactions is how humans have functioned for the millennia. And it's a good way of working, but that's not how God works with us. We do not need to earn God's favour. We do not need to earn his love. We do not need to work for his grace. He loves us unconditionally, and his grace is freely given. That psalm says, he crowns me, he crowns us with love and compassion. David understood this. He did not deserve to be king, and he certainly didn't deserve to be king after his actions with Bathsheba and her husband. Yet God forgave him. God loved him. He gave him the gift of grace. He restored him and filled him with this Holy Spirit. And David went on to be an amazing king, full of love for God and for God's people. So what does this mean for us to live a life of grace? Firstly, we need to accept that we will fail. We will miss the mark. Secondly, we need to accept God's grace and his forgiveness. As people, often the person we are hardest on is ourselves. When we mess up, sometimes we find it hard to forgive ourselves. But we must recognise that God is freely giving us his forgiveness and his grace. It is his gift to us, and we just need to receive it. And finally, as God forgives us, we must be gracious and forgiving to others. Jesus, in his teaching, is really clear in this. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus says these words, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." We are called to be little Jesuses, to be like him, pointing to the signs of the kingdom. We are to live freely because of the forgiveness and the grace we have received. And like Jesus tells us, we need to be gracious and forgiving to others. I do hope and pray that you are able to grasp something of the vastness of God's love for you, that you can accept his gift of grace, and that you can experience something of the fullness of life that is offered through Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that through him, we are able to receive that forgiveness and grace that you gave to David. Father, we pray that you will forgive us the times when we miss the mark, when we mess up, when we say silly things, when we do silly things, when we are just so far away from you and your will in our life. And Father God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in our hearts and in our minds, prompting us when we've done wrong, bringing us to a point of reconciliation with you, so that we can be your hands and feet here on this earth, and that more people will have an understanding of the loving and gracious God that we serve. So, Father God, help us to be missional people, people who live lives like you and who bring more to know you. Amen.
And compassionate, slow to anger and rich
Thank you, Caroline, so much for that word to us this morning. Let's close with some prayer. Let's pray together. Jesus, we worship you this morning. We are so grateful for what you have done in our lives. Jesus, thank you that you were prepared to die in our place, that we would know eternal life with our Heavenly Father. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the way that you took our place. Thank you for the way that you stand with us every single day. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you that you are with us, that there's nowhere that we can go from your presence. Your goodness to us is so overwhelming, it's so unending. And so we worship you together this morning for who you are. You are an amazing God. And Father, we pray together for each other right across the city. Lord, we pray for our weeks. God, we want to respond to everything that you've done in our lives. And we can only offer ourselves. So we bring ourselves to you afresh this morning. God, we bring our time. We bring our talents. We bring our finances. We bring our words. We bring our thoughts. And we pray that we would submit all of those things to you, God, today. We pray that you would use them as you want to use them, as you want to use us this week. God, we long that we would be glorifying you in our lives, that we would be the ones who are pointing others to your love and your light and your goodness. So God, we pray for each other. Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Spirit this morning? Would we know your presence as we go about our weeks this week? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, well, we're just about at the end of our service together. But I wanted to just remind you that it's not the end totally, that if you're with us on Facebook Live, you can now join in with our Zoom across the church to share and catch up together. However, if you are watching us on Facebook during the week, it's not Facebook Live maybe, but you're just finding out about us maybe for the first time, or perhaps you've been taking a look over this time in lockdown, we want to really encourage you that if God is speaking to you, that you get in touch with us. Please just send us a private message on Facebook if you want someone to talk to, someone to pray with. We would love to do that with you. And if you've been part of the church for years and God is speaking to you, can I just really encourage you that you share that with other people in your gathering and invite them to pray with you too. I'm going to finish with a reminder that as we go into our week, that Jesus is enough. I don't know how you're feeling about this week ahead, but I want to read these words to you. While fear cowers, faith stands. While fear frets, faith prays. While fear looks within, faith looks to Jesus. While fear despairs, faith hopes. And so go in peace and go in love and go in faith as we serve the Lord this week. See you soon. Bye.